Blog Talk Radio.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at chairwatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Hair Radio. Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Gary Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Life is tough if you're fine.
listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
As we close in on, well, towards 1,000 live three-hour episodes of this very Hair Radio Morning Show broadcast, I have to say, when I created the Hair Radio Morning Show, which was designed to be kind of like a Steve Harvey-ish radio, Tom Joyner type radio show, I really had no idea that it would go on and on and on quite this long. It was back in probably about 2014 when I first had the idea to take the Hair Radio Show, which had already broadcast on terrestrial AM and FM radio, as well as its own internet channel in the early 2000s. And I wanted to bring it back, as I had, but it had been on other platforms. So I brought it to Black Talk and decided that it would be something I would try. And I really fell in love with the idea of being able to do a morning show for 3 hours each day, kind of like what I grew up on in Philadelphia, listening with my whole family to the Mary Mason radio show each morning. And that's what I wanted to give, a version of that, in which we could have fun each morning. It would be early. We're talking 6 o'clock in the morning, New York time. very, very early in the morning. It's still dark outside. It was freezing cold when I started the program, and but that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to help everybody wake up and have something positive and fun and, you know, connected. Somebody's on with you live going through life each morning. And that's what I want it to be, and that's what the show has represented and what it means to so many folks who each morning, the first thing they do, they program our radio telephone number, our contact 516 number. Literally, they program it into their cell phones, and when they wake up each morning, as you guys know, we say wake up and be awesome. That's correct. We want you to wake up, hit that one programmed contact button on your cell phone. We know it's right there at your head. And literally connect with our live radio broadcast. It's been a great rewarding time each day to put this together for folks, Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern. It's great. So we love it. We will continue to bring you the broadcast, God willing, and continue to improve it. And I'm excited. And that the reason that we get that question all the time, why so early in the morning? And again, it's just we want it to be a part of you creating your day. For the most part, you turn on your TV as soon as you wake up, and it's kind of a deluge of just, you know, real chaotic type stories and things that, to me, it doesn't lend itself to getting your day started in the most productive way. I think surrounding yourself with positive energy, folks who absolutely love that you have joined them, and listening to great music and sharing great stories, that's what the Hair Radio Morning Show is all about. It really is, and we couldn't have made it this far without you. Our amazing fans. So I'm Carrie Hines, and we've gone this far. Let's keep it going.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Coming soon, don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston, Tony Terry, and of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course, talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
Now we have a very, very special guest joining us again after about a year, part of the biggest news story of the last year. The Hair Radio Morning Show would like to welcome back the one and only Dr. Michael Obeng, the Miracle Doctor. Good morning, Dr. Obeng. Again, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Good morning, Carrie. Thank you for having me.
Yes, well, it's my pleasure. I really mean that, an honor. So I kind of want to jump right on in. I think you're going to forever be connected to Tessica Brown, who I had to, of course, just to remind everybody out there, who had placed the Gorilla Glue in her hair and it became kind of stuck. And you had to remedy this situation and provide relief to Tessica Brown. So and helped her to keep her hair on her head by creating a formula that was able to loosen the glue, if I recall. So I just wanted to make sure and get that on out. So you have to tell us, Dr. Obeng, in the last year, since this all kind of became a big incident, if you will, at the time, what has your life been affected by it? That's, I think, what number one we want to know. How, if so, how?
Yeah, I mean, when I say your life, you know, our deeds, our thoughts, you know, are always, you know, affects us in some way or the other. And, of course, being part of Jessica Brown's ordeal, of course, people got to know who I am. But my life has changed because, you know, I'm alive. By the grace of God, I'm doing well, you know. So, but I wouldn't say life has changed. You know, we do what we do, and I've been doing this for almost 20 years, and this is one of the things that, you know, myself, my team, and I have been able to achieve. So, you know, it is what it is.
Well, now, you mentioned, it has changed in such a good way, and it allows you to continue all the wonderful things, and you have just done so many good things. Overall, you have been in, like you said, for 20 years, you've already been helping folks. And you know, so I have to ask you, though, is, you know, what can you tell us about Tessica's status, if there's anything? Are you still treating her? Has she had to come and do follow-ups? Anything that you can share with us this morning?
Yeah, Tessica is well. You know, her hair went back to grow, and you know, she
awesome.
Back to life and doing what she does.
Awesome.
From time to time, she call and say hello and say thank you. And as long as a patient, always a patient. So
I love
that's
it.
Relationship that we have, but she's doing well.
Awesome.
I spoke with her.
Well, please pass along our well wishes from the Hair Radio Morning Show. We certainly support everything. I just love it. It's awesome. Now, I do want to, I promised I would ask you about the amazing charitable work that you do. The last time we chatted, it was something that really stayed with me. And you do so much. Can you please tell everybody about all of, you know, give us a, because you do a lot, so just give us whatever you'd like to share about some of the wonderful things that you're doing out there.
Thank you, Kerry. You know, so I've been running an organization called Restore, which is a nonprofit organization that goes to developing countries to do free reconstructive surgeries. It has been in existence since 2008. And since 2008, you know, we have been to over 7 different countries. We have done over 1,500 surgeries. If you were to put a monetary figure on this, we are talking in excess of over $50 million or free of charge.
Wow.
Of course,
wow.
I've also personally donated my own money to get it going. We just came back from Senegal in December, where we did about 111 surgeries in a span of 5 working days. So it's good. You know, it's good to be able to help people. And, you know,
yes.
I always with my friends and my audience that, you know, we can all chip in. You don't have to be a medical professional to be able to help. You know, we do this by people like ourselves spreading the word and donations that comes in that goes to power this charitable cause.
Wow. Well, I have to tell you, it is incredible to hear, especially in these current times where folks don't seem all that much necessarily out there. There's a lot of who are, you know, trying to help one another and do positive things. But this is just such an amazing reminder. It really is. And we appreciate it. We want you to continue to, you know, stay in touch with us as well and let us know what we can do, because I think, you know, we can each do something to help someone else as well. So, I just wanted to say that. Now, you are from Ghana. I do want to just mention this really fast. You're from Ghana as well, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and I mean as well as our. We have like a big show. I'm doing a virtual thing over there in Ghana on the 1st of the month, and I just have to say I'm so excited. So, you know, and when I was, you know, just looking at, familiarizing myself with your research, I said, oh, okay, this is going to be nice. So I just want to say thank you. You know, we appreciate you. Okay, so what's next? What's next for you? And you've already told us that you'll be, you know, that you and Tessica Brown are going to stay in touch. So you're always going to be connected. So we've got that. So what about for you? What can you tell us, Dr. Obey?
What's next for me is to continue to spread the word about Restore so that we can do more good across the globe. And people who don't have the resources or in countries where they don't have the resources for reconstructive surgery. Personally, one thing that I am very passionate about is healthcare. And you know, right now we are working on a pharmaceutical plant in Ghana, where we are building a first class GMP, which is a good manufacturing practices, World Health Organization standard, pharmaceutical plant to make affordable drugs. To curtail drugs that are being imported from China and parts of India and Pakistan that is coming to Africa and is causing disease. So that's what I'm doing, and that's why when I'm at a job and I'm working on Restore, I'm working on GloHab, I'm working on Miko Pharma Ghana Limited. So that's what
That is awesome. Can you come back to the Hair Radio Morning Show when all that's out there and just give us an update and keep us abreast? That is such important work as well, and we would like to stay on top of it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. On the 1st of March, I'll be done as well. So if I'm not tied up, I'll tune to your show.
I would love that. Now, I do want to say, because you're out there, so I love following you on Instagram and all of that. How can folks, you know, if you'd like, they could check in with you on social media and all that. Anything you want to share with, you know, with the fans?
For those of you who are listening and who would like to advance the cause of Restore, you can log on to restoreworldwide.org, R-E-S-T-O-R-E, worldwide, W-O-R-L-D-W-I-D-E, worldwide.org. And you can also follow us on Restore Worldwide on Instagram. Also, for my personal Instagram, my practice is my full name, Dr. Dr. Michael K. Obain. Dr. Michael K. Obain. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook. And, you know, we're all about, you know, educating people to empower people and to put their ease, their fears, to calm them down, because a lot of people are afraid of having surgery. And that's why I try to get my patients to consent, so that we can show people that it's not as serious as they think, you know, and it's helped a lot. It's helped a lot of people. So thank you guys. And now you guys can
My pleasure.
Okay? Thank you.
All right. Dr. Obain, thank you so much for taking a moment out of your day. We know how busy you are out there in California. When I'm coming out back to the West Coast for a visit, I'm going to drop in over there in Beverly Hills. And we'll have to grab a bite or something. So I just want to say thank you so much for all that you're doing. Thanks for being on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You've got it. It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details. All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. It's our show number 699 on this Friday morning, April 15th of 2022. We are so excited to have you guys with us. We've got a lot to unpack on this Good Friday broadcast, so I am so excited. Much more to come in just a couple of minutes. We've got an amazing revisit with Dr. Joel A. Freeman from the Freeman Institute. And then a little later in the show, we have Dr. Freeman, who is joined by Dr. Milton, and we cannot wait to have them on together. So a lot to talk about. And then I've got the gentleman who is going to join me on the line. You guys have gotten to know him in recent days. I want to say his name. You guys know it's spelled the same frontwards and backwards. I talked about Otto. Good morning, Otto. Happy Friday.
Good morning, Kerry. Happy Friday to you.
Yes, it is really exciting. It's a little cooler here in the Brooklyn, New York area. How about down in the South Jersey area?
Yes, same, cooler. It was a beautiful night. Today is actually going to be beautiful, 75 degrees in Hamilton, Trenton area. It's going to get outside.
Wow.
And get some vitamin D today if you can get out.
Yes,
be a good day to be outside. Yeah.
I totally agree. But if you're inside, or take us with you. Don't forget, we're mobile. You can take us with you. You know, and that's a good reminder about the Hair Radio Morning Show. We have it set up so easily that you can just dial one number, as you heard earlier, hit the one, you know, just dial the 516 number, program it in your phone as a contact. So when you awaken, you can just hit the one button and connect directly with our broadcast. And so that's really, really good. And, you know, and it works. And you can take it with you. There are folks who tune in literally at 6 o'clock. They take us with them when they leave the house about 7 in their car because they listen right through the cell phone. I have other folks who tune in by going online on their computer. And they go to the website at blogtalkradio.com/hairradio and tune in to the program that way. And we've got others who follow us through their social media. They follow me through Facebook or through Twitter or Instagram. They, you know, so there are big. There are many, many different ways that folks can kind of zoom in literally on the program and be part of what we're doing. So I'm really, real happy about that.
It's wonderful. Ways to technology to reach out, listen to the Hair Radio Morning Show with Curry Hines.
Exactly.
I love it.
And there you go. I love that. And Otto. Okay. So now coming up, as I said, Dr. Joel A. Freeman, he's out in the Maryland area, and he has assembled an incredible collection, Otto, of artifacts. And it's a bit strong talk. Some of it is a little strong, but I think you'll be okay. And it's incredibly educational. He is a man of great faith. He was a chaplain for the NBA. So that says
wow.
A whole lot all by itself.
Wow.
Plus, he's gone on to do so many things. Yeah, he's really had quite a career. But he's a very, very good man, as you will take a listen and kind of be the judge. So I'm real happy about that. He's up next. And then a little later, we've got more live talk, live chat. Also, Otto, we're going to do a review at the end of today's broadcast. And so this is something that I've always wanted to do on the show, and that really is to kind of take a look back at some of the things, because each week we're on the show, we do a lot of broadcasts, they come and go. But being able to review some of the incredible stories that we've covered. Maybe there are folks who are tuning in to the Hair Radio Morning Show today, and they might have missed some of these incredible broadcasts, some of the great interviews, and some things that were incredibly strong. And I think it would be nice to kind of refresh their memory. Some want to go back and listen, and they'll have that opportunity. So I think this is going to be great. And that's coming up about 8:30 Eastern Time, 7:30 Central, folks. And then it's our show number. I mean, can you believe it's broadcast today, broadcast show number 699.
That's a lot. Live episodes. Wow.
Live episodes, 3 hours each, which makes us the most prolific hair and beauty talk radio show in the history of broadcasting, period, bar none. So that is incredible, and that's a great honor, and I'm very pleased about that.
You're quite the pioneer, Kerry Hines.
Thank you, Otto.
Absolutely, man. I enjoy every day. And this week's going to be, listening back to this week's show is going to be exciting. There was a lot of good content, a lot of good guests. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. I really am. And so much to talk about and kind of get, you know, folks moving in the right direction this morning. And it's just nice. I was just thinking, I remember what Captain Smashy was saying, how much the show has kind of changed her viewpoint on life. And I thought that was really nice. I'm going to take a listen here. I'm going to leave your mic on. I want to take a listen. This is something that's quite motivational for me when I hear what folks have to say.
It was just the beginning of everything for me. Let's just say that. If I was to describe it, I would say the beginning of everything, the beginning of the limelight, the beginning of my voice, the beginning of the stardom track. And I learned a lot, and Hair Radio carried me so far to I just can't describe the excitement and how happy and how Hair Radio changed my life.
Oh.
Hair Radio changed my life. And it's because of Hair Radio that I was able to continue to push through, able to continue to build and go forth. And
you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines, and I have a very special guest with us today. His name is Dr. Joel Freeman. Now, he is the founder, CEO, and president of the Freeman Institute. Dr. Freeman, I'd like to welcome you to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you, Kerry.
Absolutely. Now, first of all, we've got to start at the beginning. Tell everyone what the Freeman Institute is.
It's a company I started back about 21, 22 years ago, and we have 8 arenas of expertise, and that ranges from workshops and retreats and keynote addresses to culture change, reality-based organizational change, and then I do executive success coaching. I do Black History and Diversity Day presentations, and I have a whole aspect that deals with entrepreneurship and business intelligence and creativity, and then do open registration seminar events for communities, and then also develop the Rosetta Stone Replica Project. The Rosetta Stone is not the language software company. It's the actual artifact that was used to crack the code to hieroglyphics back in the early 1800s, and the original is in the British Museum. It was made in Egypt, on the west bank of the Nile. They found it in 1799. French soldiers did. But anyway, I have the world's first and only full-size three-dimensional replica that's available for the general public. And also have my own publishing company and other projects we work with. So that kind of gives you pretty much a quick overview of the Institute.
Sure. And tell the folks out there, where is the Institute located? And we'll take it from there in terms of what it's all about.
Sure. It's in Maryland, not far from Annapolis, Maryland.
Okay. And so I want to just let everybody know, as you were kind enough to just kind of give us a quick overview of the Freeman Institute, But when I looked at your website at freemaninstitute.com, I saw quite a bit of information, so many different things that really kind of piqued my interest, and I was just blown away, to be quite frank with you, Dr. Freeman. One of the things that we'll get into, there's so many different aspects, like I said, that we're going to get into, but one of my favorite parts that I uncovered on your site, of course, like some of the, you know, on a lighter side, some of the quotes that you have there are just fantastic. And so, you know, I just wanted to let you know that I'm someone who gravitates towards quotes and things of that nature. So when I saw and I look at your kind of your long list of items that you have on your site, and I see that you cover kind of everything, you really do. And you outline it there, you put it there. It's a lot of work that has gone into this. You have some wonderful things that you're doing, obviously, in the way of education. And you have, you know, just some great things historical reference. And then my other part, of this that I absolutely love is that you have a huge collection, so of artifacts and things that you know, that document the African American experience, or the African experience, I guess, that if you were on some level. So, you know, we want you to walk us through just about everything. So, and then I'm going to end with the entrepreneurship, because that's another part of this that fits into a great deal of where we are today at the Hair Radio Morning Show and what we talk about quite often. So I've got a whole thing on that to kind of cover with you. So let's talk about this particular, before we even get into Annie Malone, which we will definitely get into, let's talk about I think I saw something that you had written, a documentary, if you will, on a white man's journey into, or through black America, I think it was. Why don't you tell the folks about this and how all this came to be, why this came to be, and how you got involved, because I understand that you're from Canada, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I ended up leaving home when I was 17. I come from a little town of Three Hills, Alberta, Canada, and I left home at 17, just started hitchhiking all around North America, long-haired hippie, dope-smoking fool, and just traveled probably 5,000, 6,000 miles on my thumb. Pretty much all around North America. And then I had an experience that actually changed my life, that really caused me to revisit, you know, what my purpose was and what my goals were. I signed up for Bible school the next day. And
How old were you, if I may ask, at that point?
I was actually about 17.
Really?
I was 19 years of age. I'm sorry, 19 at that point.
Wow. Okay.
And then I ended up going to school. I became a pastor. I became chaplain for the Bullets, the Wizards, and the NBA.
Wow.
One of the first chaplains in the history of the NBA. And I started that in 1978-79 season. And
what are the chaplain, for those of us who don't know? Obviously, we know what a chaplain does in general, but what did a chaplain for the NBA do exactly? Like, how does all that work?
Well, I'm actually writing a book about it right now called Finding the Open Man, subtitled The Surprising Benefits of Unselfishness. And basically, the whole idea behind being a chaplain is to be a confidant, a friend, someone without any hidden agenda, someone who keeps everything in absolute confidence and is just there for the guys, is not there to take but to give. And it's such a rare situation for so many NBA players, because most people have a hidden and sometimes not so hidden agenda. And so sometimes they don't even know for a year to 2 years what their real agenda is for some people that want to get close to them, either through their kids, their wife or family, parents. They try to get through to the player. And so I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do it. And so I just knew I could love these guys unconditionally, and I could be a listening ear. I didn't always have the right thing to say, perhaps, but I could at least listen. And I think that over 20 seasons, I mean, there are 6 coaching changes, and generally speaking, a new coach brings in his or her new people, you know, depending on the WNBA or NBA or whatever. They just clear the deck and start with their own people. And to have survived 6 coaching changes, I still shake my head. It's remarkable to me that that even happened. But it was a great ride. Got to know a lot of players and their families, and that, in a nutshell, is what it's all about.
So you probably I also understand that you used to get a lot of questions from these guys, and that's kind of what also helped to prompt you and kind of push you forward with getting to have a deeper understanding. So what kind of questions did they pepper you with?
Well, what happened is of course, you can imagine, when I was 25 years of age when this happened, and my first year, my first season, and I've always looked rather young, and you can imagine I probably looked about 16 or 17 years of age when I was 25. And so they're looking at each other and saying, "You mean we're supposed to spill our guts to that guy? You got to be kidding me." And so it was earning their respect. But I think that they were testing the seams of my soul and trying to, and the sincerity of my heart, by asking questions. And it's probably unconscious. I don't think it was a conscious grilling or anything like that. But over time, they began to ask questions like, you know, what did Jesus look like? What part did people of African descent have to play in biblical and extra-biblical history? Just questions like that that I found that I did not have the responses to. Heck, I didn't even know what questions to ask. And so what happened is that little by little, it forced me to start researching so that I could have some type of a credible response to them. Then you fast forward. That was my first inkling, real inkling, that I needed to grow and expand. I never was interested in history in school, but that got me started. Then you fast forward to about 1995, I met a gentleman by the name of Don Griffin. He was the senior HR manager for a company, and by that time in 93, I had stopped pastoring and decided to take my pastor's heart into the business world, so I launched my own company called the Freeman Institute. And at that point, I was at his job, you know, working, doing some events for his senior leadership team. And between sessions, Don began to share with me his journey as an African-American male growing up, and some of the latest revelations and understandings he had about himself, about history, and it fascinated me. So I began to study some of the things that he was saying, began to research. I had that much respect for him. And I remember going to the library time and time again. There's no internet at the time. And I just would get these, what we used to call VHSs or videos.
Right, remember those.
And so I'd bring home a video, let's say, a series called Africa, A Voyage of Discovery by Basil Davidson. It was a BBC series. A man from Great Britain. And then I'd pick up the Eyes on the Prize, Part 1, Part 2, The Promised Land, about the move from the South to the, especially the Chicagoland area. And I just began to read books, and then I bumped into Ivan Van Sertima. And I remember calling him up. Someone gave me his home phone number. I called him up, and I said, you don't know me, and I barely know you, but I would like to get to know you. And what happened is that he began to share things with me, and then he got my address. The next thing I knew, 3 weeks later, I got a big, huge box of his books that he edited and wrote. And then I called him back and asked him if he would become my historical guide, my main historical guide. And we spent hours on the phone together where I'd read a book, and I'd redline it. I'd ask all kinds of questions. And he let me ask any off-the-wall question that was ricocheting around my little pea brain. It was just a fascinating experience.
Wow.
We had a great time talking. He's passed away now since 2009, and I miss him, you know, on many levels, but especially just hanging out with him on the phone, just talking with him about various things, bouncing ideas around. So
wow.
That kind of was the genesis to, and then I met a gentleman by the name of Mark Mitchell, who has a huge Black History collection. And Mark and I began to talk, and I just saw the power of his collection, the impact it had. It is a transcendent quality, transcending race and gender and generation and religion, class. I mean, just fascinating. And so I began to, he became a mentor of mine, and I began to develop my own collection, which is now well over 3,000 pieces. The oldest piece dates back to 1553. I've been able to do exhibits at the United Nations twice, and plus they've used some of my pieces and information on international exhibit that's going around the world right now. Clinton Presidential Library, I've done things in conjunction with the White House communication staff, also Secret Service 4 years in a row, FBI, just fascinating stuff that
wow.
has emerged as a result of this collection. It's opened up doors. And I find that especially when I'm speaking about diversity or Black history, it opens up the minds and hearts to receive what I have to share, because when people see 20, 30, 40 pieces of my collection and exhibit before I speak, you know, now they're intrigued. What's this? What's this white guy all about? What's his deal? You know, what's motivating him? And that's the cartoon bubble above everybody's head. And so I'm able to respond best I can to that. In fact, I have a website called whitemansstory.com. White man's, no apostrophe on the S, man's, but whitemansstory.com. And that's my online response to that question that people have about, you know, what motivated me to get involved.
Well, I also want to talk a little bit more about this amazing collection that everybody is talking about, of course, that you indicated, you know, over 3,000 pieces. I think I saw on your video or somewhere where it even had, like, the shackles, if you will, for, like, that some of the slaves may have, you know, worn or what have you, in addition to so many other different things. What are some of the other standout items that are included in the collection? And I understand that it is online to some degree.
Yes, blackhistorycollection.com gives kind of a brief overview of some of the pieces, but it's blackhistorycollection.com, singular. And, you know, that one pair of shackles that I received, I was over in Ghana at the Slave Coast Castle, and I was talking with a gentleman there. His name was Stephen Donica. And I began to share with him a little bit about, you know, the film that I had co-created with Don Griffin and the book and some other things in my collection. And then I said, how would it be possible for me to get a pair of shackles, a set of shackles from here, from Africa? And he says, I don't know, but I'll find out. And he brought everything before the village elders there, and they voted unanimously to donate a set to me, which he sent to me. And I just blown away that they were that kind, and because I'm sure it's not an unlimited number of shekels they have available, and for them to do that, I just feel so respected by these the individuals who voted on this, and of course also Stephen Danica. And so the other pieces, what I've tried to do, Carrie, is to develop kind of a more of a global picture, because I find that here in America and in some parts of Canada also, there's this intractable black-white situation where it's very hard to understand, to cross the no man's land, or so to speak, between the two races. And so I tried to bring more of an international view, and because I really think that once people begin to realize that there were things going on in South America. In fact, there's well over 3 million that right now speak Spanish and Portuguese, people of African descent in South Africa, and many people can't imagine that and cannot understand it. But it just is. I have documents going back to 1553 from Peru, from Ecuador, from Argentina. Some of them are written in Old Spanish, so that even if someone knows Spanish today, they cannot even read these other documents. You have to have a specialized understanding about the Old Spanish script. And these are all slave documents. I've got an 11-page document from a hospital where slaves were, if they got sick, that's where they went, St. Bartholomew. Just outside of Lima, Peru, and it's just an astonishing thing. And then also what I've tried to do with the collection is I tried not to spend so much time documenting the horrific nature of the slave trade and all the rest of it, even though that's a part of the picture and is a necessary part of the picture. What I've tried to do is to showcase the inventiveness of it, and the creativity of people who have been under the boot of slavery and the trade, and
you found
Jim Crow
for the most
laws.
Part, right?
Well, what I've discovered is I developed a metaphor that is not new, but I've applied it to this situation. It's called Blades of Grass in a Concrete Jungle. I commissioned a 90-second animated video that people can see on YouTube, Blades of Grass in a Concrete Jungle. And what it basically is the concrete is a metaphor for all the horrific things that have happened, ranging from lynching, the black code laws, and the depression where blacks were hired last and fired first, and just so many issues that it's impossible to exaggerate the horrific nature what people endured. But then we talk about the blades of grass who came up through, cracked through, and sometimes exploded through the concrete. So the thicker the concrete, the more inspirational the story. So by using this metaphor, it gives permission to talk about the horrific nature without it being a downer. Because then, as I mentioned, the thicker the concrete, the more inspirational the story. Once we begin to understand how terrible it was, and then we see the accomplishments of individuals in spite of how terrible it was, my goodness, I say, I think I've got problems. Here's an example of somebody who had everything stacked against them, and they still made something of their lives and inspiration to their families. I mean, we all have concrete internally. Stuff like, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I can't make it, I'm a fraud, if people really knew what I was all about. That's the stuff that echoes in the minds and the hearts of just about every human being. And at one point or another, that can actually rob them of their purpose and their potential.
Right.
And so that we all have that internal concrete. I'm too short, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too tall, I'm too this, I'm too that. My ears are too big. My ears are too small. My hair is not enough. All that kind of stuff that gurgles around. But then you add to it the systemic issues in a culture that provide external concrete that actually can become so terrible and so demanding of a person's attention that it can actually cripple them and come rolling over them and just say, well, I guess I'm nothing. I might as well commit suicide. I might as well do something harmful to myself so that I sabotage my own success. But here are people that came up through it in spite of it. And that, to me, is I just shake my head. And every time I see pieces from Annie Malone and Madam C.J. Walker and Frederick Douglass and Toussaint Louverture and other individuals, Marcus Garvey, I mean, the list goes on and on and on of individuals, Pearl Bailey. It just is astonishing to me what these individuals accomplished. And so what I've tried to do is develop a touchstone, if you will. For instance, like Pearl Bailey, I have the actual check that she was paid for her part in Porgy and Bess. And
really?
someone, I'm not going to tell you how much it was, because someone might say, how much was that? I'm going to say, you have
to
go to blackhistorycollection.com
and
do a search for Pearl Bailey, and you'll find out how much she was paid for her part in the movie that came out in the early 50s. And so it just is amazing when you think of what people like her accomplished. I have Ethel Waters, her contract,
mm-hmm.
her book, His Eyes on the Sparrow. It was a smash bestseller. And I have the actual contract signed by her and her co-author, the one who, the ghostwriter, not the ghostwriter, because he was declared that he wrote the book, but co-author with her, Charles Samuels. And then I have other items in here.
Well, Dr. Freeman, was it hard to kind of gather these items? How do you find these items? I mean, is it easier nowadays because of the Internet, I guess I should ask?
It's actually very difficult. If someone were to embark upon a collection like this
if I were to start a collection today, I don't think I would be able to do it.
Be virtually impossible, and I'm not kidding. It is. Wow. I know what's out there and what's not out there, and it is the stuff that you get now are just reproductions, and there's a lot of fakes, and it's very hard. For instance, I have an original letter, handwritten letter by Frederick Douglass. It's almost priceless because where could you find one? You know, someone might say, well, I've got everything. No, you don't. You don't have a handwritten letter by Frederick Douglass, you know?
No, that's huge.
Someone like an Oprah you name the names out there of individuals that would be interested. I mean, if they went out to look for it, they couldn't find some items that I've been able to bring together.
Wow. Well, I have to say, let me just remind everybody and kind of bring everybody up to where we are. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, today's guest is Dr. Joel Freeman, and he is the founder, CEO, and president of the Freeman Institute in Maryland. And we've been kind of following along and just thoroughly impressed with the amount of information that you have. You are truly a historian in every sense of the word, and an entrepreneur, and you just cover everything, really. I don't think I've seen anybody in a long time like this who I just, we're all blown away with this kind of information, this knowledge, and the willingness that you share, putting it out there, and it's quite remarkable. So I'm going to kind of turn to, I do want to talk a little bit about Annie Malone and some of the other folks that you write about. And I know we kind of glossed over the book a bit that you wrote with the gentleman, Don Griffin, I believe.
Don Griffin, yes.
So I want you to talk about the book specifically. Tell the folks a little bit more. Are we able to get a copy of this book?
Yes, it can be gotten online on Amazon or anywhere else. And or they can contact me after the program or something like that, and I'd be happy to sign a copy for them and send it to them.
Sure.
Right. But
it's called The Return to Glory. I just want to make sure that
yes,
that's clear, Return to Glory.
Subtitled The Powerful Stirring of the Black Man. And the first half is all about the historical content, and that's the half that Don wrote. The second half has to do with the mental, emotional, spiritual roadmap to wholeness. And in that last part, I detail how a person can walk through the grieving process. Because I remember when I was interviewing people for the book,
uh-huh.
especially because the book is targeting especially young men, ages about 12 to about 27. And while we were researching this, we had people tell us, you're crazy. You know, why would you want to write a book? Because if you want to hide something from young African-American men, you just put it in a book, right? That's what they're telling us.
Oh,
and they said, you're wasting your time. You got to use more visual, music, whatever, other means and methodologies to reach your target audience. But we kept on going with it, and I'll tell you,
which is a horrible stereotype all in it, you know, unto itself.
It is, absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that was the messaging message we were getting from people we were interviewing for the book.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So anyway, what happened is the second half deals with the mental, emotional, spiritual roadmap. And so what I did is, you can imagine on a suspicion scale from somewhat to extremely suspicious, we're banging on the extremely suspicious end of the scale when I'm interviewing someone, let's say, for the book. And they're saying, you know, why are you writing this book, and who are you, and what are you all about? And so what I did is I asked a question that changed the tone of every single interview and brought some of us from some interviews from 45 minutes to sometimes 4, 6, maybe even 8 hours, some dear friendships emerging. And here's the question that changed the tone of every single interview. Do you remember the moment when you realized that because of the color of your skin, that the rules were somehow different for you? Now, by asking that question, to have a 65-year-old man pause, look out the window, and then look back at me, and then tell me with brilliant clarity what happened when he was 5 or 6 years of age, knowing remembering the weather, what he was wearing, his mother's response when he told her about it, and just, my goodness, that question changed the tone. Because I began to then see that there was a whole grieving process. After that moment, whether it's 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 or 12 or 19 or 20 years of age, depending on the situation, to then go from that moment to what Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote when she was still alive. She wrote a book about the grieving process. And grieving, we've all lost loved ones or lost a dream, but grieving is all about loss. And so the loss that I began to identify, because my PhD work is in psychology, and I think in that direction, began to see that the loss had to do with, it was the loss of innocence, that all of a sudden a young kid, a young boy, young girl, a young individual, suddenly it's like the scales have been taken off. It's like the blinders have been taken off, and they now can see, wow, they hate me just because of the color of my skin? You got to be kidding me. And then the grieving process, ranging from denial to depression to just all the different aspects that go with the whole grieving process. And in the book, I spend a chapter on each layer, each aspect of the grieving process. And of course, it isn't a neat, nice and tidy, while I'm moving from one part to the next, never to be revisited, but a person could be in whatever acceptance means, you know, because who knows what that means. A person could be in acceptance at 4:30 in the afternoon and be back at square one at 7 o'clock that night and working through the whole process again. So that began to really unlock to me the gateway to understanding what humans go through in a situation like this. And it had an astonishing impact on me.
Well, you know something, Dr. Freeman, I have to ask you, and I think this is about as good a time as any. When you see all of the things that are happening in the country in these current times, and you being a person of faith and education and all the above, and what can you say, and how do you explain it? What are your thoughts on it? I'm just curious.
Well, I think that humans are humans wherever we go. In other words, if you're a Korean in Japan, you're going to be experiencing some crazy situations. If you are a let's say a gypsy in Hungary or in Sweden, you're going to be experiencing situations that are very, very difficult. And if you're from one tribal system or another tribal system, warring against another tribal system in Africa, very similar dynamics. Same color of skin in all in these accounts, except Korean and Japanese might have just a variation of the color of skin. But and also in Mexico, if you're darker skin or lighter skin color, the darker skinned individuals deal with incredible discrimination. In Italy, if you're from North Italy versus South Italy, in Great Britain. Just the sound of your speech, if you're from Yorkshire or Scotland, and you're talking with someone who is from London, you know, from a certain part of London, there's immediate, the moment the person opens their mouth, there's an immediate class system that emerges. My point being is that for me, I think that wherever we go, there's going to be this kind of situation. And I think it's important for us to understand the history so that we never repeat it, you know, personally. Let me tell you a quick story. I was down at Los Alamos National Laboratory some years back, about 7, 8, maybe 10 years ago now. And I was speaking at their Martin Luther King event. And I talked about the moment, and I talked about the grieving process. And there was a gentleman there who was very high up at Los Alamos National Laboratory at the time, a man of African descent. He came up to me afterwards and began to share with me his story a little bit. And then after he shared with me his story, he said, you know, he says, when I experienced the moment, when I realized because of the color of my skin that the rules are somehow different for me, he said, it was like a hurricane force wind came against me. And he was no more than about 6, 7 years of age. And he said, in fact, by the way, when you think about a hurricane, it takes about, 75 miles per hour for a wind to get a name. And he said that what happened is that I learned as a young man how to lean into the wind. I learned how to have a sense of humor in the midst of the wind. I learned, it was a dark sense of humor, but I had a sense of humor.
Right.
I learned how to be successful in spite of the wind. I learned how to have relationships with people in spite of the wind, but I knew the wind was there. And he says later on, he says, I rose very pretty high in the ranks. I got a job in Japan. He said, I went to Japan and got a tour there. And he said, the moment I got off the airplane, he says, wouldn't you know it, the wind stopped. And remember what I said about the Korean and Japanese. If you're Korean, the wind is at about 120 miles per hour for you. But as an African, a man of African descent, he said the wind has stopped for him. About 3-4 weeks later, there were a delegation from D.C. came to visit. And he said they met at a restaurant. And he said within the first 5 minutes, he said, at the restaurant, he says, I felt the wind pick up again. It was just crazy and strange. Then he looked at me. He's a no BS kind of guy. He looked at me straight in the eye, and as serious as a heart attack, he said, for some reason, I don't feel any wind coming from you. Now, Kerry, I don't know. It just struck me so incredibly hard what he said to me. And I thought, I got in the car. I mean, we're I had to get to Albuquerque to get on the plane to come back to Baltimore. A couple of times I had to pull over because I was crying so much, because it meant so much to me. And I just, at that point, you know, I began to pray, I began to talk to God. I said, I want to be a person who sponsors the wind for my wife, for my kids, for my next-door neighbors, people at church, people wherever I go, and be in cross-cultural situations. I don't want to be a sponsor of the wind. And not if, but when I do sponsor the wind, I just want to be man enough to go to that person, whoever it might be, and ask for forgiveness and apologize. And repair as best as I can. Now, I think that is a metaphor, if you will, for how things can change. It's one by one, people reaching out and in spite of the pain. Henry Nouwen wrote a book called The Wounded Healer, and I think that's what it's all about, that in the midst, in spite of our wounds, in spite of the history, that we all seek to understand before seeking to be understood. That's what Augustine said in the 4th century.
Wow.
Seek to understand before seeking to be understood. Those are words worth embroidering. But
I love
what's cool about that statement is that it doesn't preclude the need to be understood, but it's all about understanding. And I think if every one of us, within the sound of my voice, myself included, if every one of us over the next 30 days said, I am going to seek to understand before seeking to be understood with our spouses, with our kids, the next-door neighbors, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I think it could have a profound impact on our on the quality of our lives, on our experiences, and the impact on our work experience, everything that we can imagine. So that's what I think it needs to happen. And so every pore in my, every bone, every tissue in my body, every cell in my body, I want to be committed to that. I want to be committed to impacting other people, like the hot coal principle. The old days, we had the hibachi grill, and you put the briquettes in there, and there's only one or two that are hot, and then you kind of bring the other ones that are cold, you bring them up next to the hot ones, and you hope they catch fire. And so I just think if we can get just some people that are hot coal, mm-hmm. briquette coals, and with this message, and little by little, you know, the whole purpose behind the collection. I hold things lightly. You know, that collection, the whole purpose of the collection is to help create an opening in the hearts for people to hear this message. And my book, the books I write, you know, everything is all designed to help open up doors and hearts, minds to these kinds of things, to get out of small-mindedness, to kind of move. We can't deny the pain, but it's kind of like a ratchet wrench. You know, a lot of people view the click, 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 you know, the backwards movement.
Right, right.
Just as that, a backwards movement, backwards movement. But actually, when you think about the purpose of the ratchet wrench to loosen a bolt or tighten a bolt, when you do the click, 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 that's an important part of the whole purpose of the ratchet wrench. What's my point? The point is I think sometimes we just need to take a step back, take a look at our pain. Click, 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 and when it's uncomfortable, turn the music off, turn the external stimulation off, and just confront the pain. And we might have to do it in counseling. We might have to do it reading books. We might have to do it in prayer. In a lot of different ways we deal with the pain, but we all have to do that click, 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 and take the step back. But really, that step back is not a backward step. It's a forward step because now we're ready to confront the issues in our lives, to deal with people out of respect, mutual respect. Not me trying to be black or someone else trying to be white. It's just saying, hey, I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm not going to diss my own people. I'm not going to tear my own race down. I'm just going to be who I am. And I'm going to allow you to be who you are when you come in that 5-foot zone around me. And so that's what it's all about, I think.
Wow. Well, I think you put it eloquently, I have to say. Let's talk about just turning a little bit over towards the entrepreneurial part of things. And I love how you really, I have to say, I read a little bit closely about some of the items in terms of you helping corporations and helping folks in terms of diversity and all kinds of different things and customer service and just teaching and being there to help guide folks. I was just quite impressed with all of that, Dr. Freeman. So I want to kind of just talk for a moment, and maybe we need to start off by recognizing the impact of an Annie Malone, of C.J. Walker, and then kind of talk about entrepreneurship in just in general terms. And then I have something I want to mention to you, but why don't we start there? Why is it so important, and it seems like all these things are connected when I think about, you know, the Freeman Institute. It seems like all of these things that you do, there is a theme, there is a purpose for all of these different aspects that you tackle. You do a lot, and you say a lot, and there's a reason, I believe. But I'd like for you to talk to that a little bit. You know, about the entrepreneurship and Annie Malone and all of that. Why did you decide to include Annie Malone as part of your wonderful site and information?
Well, Kerry, you are right. There's no more than 2 degrees of separation between any two things that I'm involved
mm-hmm.
with. In fact, what I did is I think it's important for everyone to do this. But I figured every major corporation or organization, faith-based, nonprofit, for-profit, whatever, most every successful organization has a vision statement, mission statement, core values, code of conduct.
Right.
And I figure why not everybody else? Why not individuals develop that? And so what I've done is I developed my own vision statement, my own mission statement, my own core values. And I detail that in the workbook called If Nobody Loves You, Create the Demand. It's a book about entrepreneurship, about taking an idea to the marketplace. It's a book about discerning the difference between a viable business dream and a nightmare as quickly as possible. And it's also developed so that an organization could create an entrepreneur club so that people can learn how to deal with objections and learn how to deal with rejection. Because if people can deal with those two things, especially learning it young in life, they can be successful in whatever they do, objections and rejection. And so I think that when it comes to entrepreneurship, see, one of the things that I want to do is help community-based organizations, faith-based organizations establish galleries, black history galleries in a community. And I think that a gallery can become, in fact, if someone goes to blackhistorygallery.com, blackhistorygallery.com, they can learn more about this model. Because I think a black history gallery can become like a town well for a community, where people can learn about morals and values and just entrepreneurship and so many different aspects of what it means to return to glory. And so then what happens is that as a person learns about entrepreneurship, in fact, I think especially with, let's say, an organization wanting to mentor youth, you know, if you come at a young person with the whole idea of morals and values, they're going to be gone in New York second. But if you come at them with the idea of how can we connect now with later, you know, what do you do? What do you want to? Where do you want to be down the road 5-10 years from now? And what are you doing now that will connect with 5-10 years from now? And you know, if what you're doing now doesn't connect with 5-10 years from now, then we need to revisit what you're doing now, and we can do that in a very positive way, and begin to understand that the future is a connection of the eternal now, you know, the moment, these moments that we connect together that become the future. And so I think it's important to bring a group of young people together, let's say, and say let's have an entrepreneur club. And by the way, let's develop an entrepreneurial business together. And I developed a whole magazine project around that that's going crazy around the country right now. And let's develop a project so that you can learn how to deal with objections and rejection. And then you can learn how to shake a hand firmly while you're looking squarely in someone's eyes. You can learn how to dress in a manner that's going to be one less speed bump for someone to go over to get to you as a person. We're going to learn how to just the way we communicate, what we say, how we say it, when we say it, time, tone, tact. We're going to look at all these different aspects. We look at your values, your morals, your character. But you see, all this stuff gets slipped in through the side door. And it's along the way, all this stuff becomes introduced because, you know, if you want to be successful, if you want to make more money, if you want to be a person that has a greater purpose in life and attracts people to you, your counsel is in demand, you have to start looking at these other areas. But if you lead with that foot, the other area foot, it's going to drive them away. But if you lead with the foot, you know, of success and entrepreneurship, because we're all either going to be an employer or an employee. And I prefer to train up employers, people with an entrepreneurial mindset that can end up hiring 100, 1,000, 10,000 people down the road.
Exactly.
And provide jobs for families. And that's the kind of mindset I like to prepare people for, and so that they're almost not content for anything else but that.
Exactly. Well, I love that. I really do. And that makes a lot of sense to me. Speaking of which, I see that you have the video there. I didn't get a chance to discover that before we began to chat today. But I'd like to talk a little bit about the Madam C.J. Walker items that you have, and I believe they're part of your collection, or tell us a little bit about that, and how did you, you know, we'll turn to the hair part of it.
Okay.
How did you get that, and talk a little bit about that, and I'm looking at your video, but I don't have the sound up, so, you know, walk me through a little bit of what all of that is about.
Well, Madam C.J. Walker, most everyone has heard of her. And because when I'm in a crowd, let's say 1,000 people, and I ask, how many here have Madam C.J. Walker? And hands go up everywhere. She's an incredible person. She fought against lynching. She gave money for fighting against lynching. She went to Washington, D.C. to help create legislation against lynching. She was a woman of great character who helped to develop entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs. And yet, the question I generally have in a situation like that is, okay, what well did she draw her water from? Who,
right.
What shoulders did she stand on to become who she was? And so I bumped into Annie Malone. And hardly in that same crowd of 1,000 people, you might have 99%
two.
Of the folks raising their hand about Annie Malone,
exactly.
About Madam C.J. Walker, but then you might
right,
have three
no
or four
one.
People
right, exactly.
saying they know who Annie Malone is.
Correct.
So I figured I'm going to make it part of my life mission is to help help people know about who Annie Malone is.
Yes.
Because she
we'll
was...
Hold it. Yes, go ahead. Go right ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. She was...
Oh, no. She was an incredible person. She was actually, she trained up over 75,000 women entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
She trained Madam C.J. Walker in 1905, and Madam C.J. Walker became a Poro agent, because that was the name of her college, Poro College. She built this beautiful building in St. Louis, Missouri, four stories high. It looks. I have an original book that people can get off Amazon if they go to parocollege.com. And Paro College, it's just very simple. The word, first word is four letters. Paro, P as in Paul, O as in ocean, R as in Ralph, O as in ocean, Paro, like P-O-R-O, college.com. And they'll see this building, and then they'll also see a booklet that she published back in 1926. And a part of my Black History collection, yeah, I have an original one of those 1926 booklets. There's very few of them around. And when you open up the booklet, the first thing you start looking at is how incredible this building is. It's like it's straight. If I just showed you a picture of some of the rooms, you would swear it's out of Wall Street, New York. And this particular building was a building where she trained up, as I mentioned, over 75,000 women entrepreneurs who she gave cash awards to for saving accounts or home purchases. She gave a diamond ring to them after 5 years of service. Her philanthropy toward them and toward others was legendary. This building is just an incredible place that she created for this. She owned a whole city block in Chicago. She paid, imagine this, 1926 alone, she paid over $40,000 in taxes. Just think about that.
Amazing.
One of the first
Amazing.
People in the entire state of Missouri to own a Rolls Royce. And
who was actually the very first self-made female African-American millionaire? Was
well,
it Annie Malone, or was it, I mean, not that it, you know, is something we should, you know, compare on any level, but I'm just curious because I've always grown up thinking it was Madam C.J. Walker with all of her,
well,
you know, things and accomplishments.
Yeah, from all the research I've done, if I were a betting man, and I'm not a gambling man, but if I were, I'd bet the farm that Annie Malone was the first millionaires of African descent, women, female millionaires in the country.
And that's
just
what I'm getting.
Timing.
Why? How on this earth? I try to figure this out as well. How did? And I love Madam. I love both and
oh,
all the things
there,
that they
no
stand for.
They both are wonderful. Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's
but
not even part of the discussion here.
Right. Exactly. But how on this earth?
did Madam C.J. Walker take all the things that she learned, which I'm sure was a wonderful tribute to Annie Malone, and seems that only America, it seems like we only remember or know of the accomplishments of the student as opposed to the teacher.
I think a lot of it had to do with Annie Malone. What happened is that she ended up getting married in, I think it was 1924-ish, right around there. And what happened is that after she got married, her husband, he was not a very good man. And he caused such incredible problems for her that I just shake my head. And felt that he was due so much more than and they ended up getting divorced, let me put it that way.
Wow.
And from that point on, what happened is her business became, she was a very, if you look at her building and everything that she did, it was incredible, impeccable, clean, it was orderly, it was you could see the record system she had. My point being is that this was an incredible person. But once, after the wedding, then what happened is that he began to sabotage everything. And she never recovered. Then the IRS got involved, and she never recovered from that at all. Here's a college that employed in 1926 175 people with franchise outlets in North America, South America, Africa, the Philippines. A wealthy, wealthy woman. And then at the end of her life, she pretty much dies destitute. And all that's left right now is the orphanage, the Annie Malone Orphanage, that was a facility on Good Avenue. I don't know if you remember the song Johnny Be Good by Chuck Berry.
Yes,
he
of course.
He grew up on Good Avenue, right around the corner. And that's where the spelling Johnny Be Good, G-O-O-D-E, in the song, it comes from that Good Avenue.
All this time, I thought it was just Johnny Be Good, G-O-O-D. So,
yeah, G-O-O-D-E. If you look it up on the internet, you'll see that's how it's spelled.
Wow.
And he later became a beautician under the Poro system. He graduated in 1952 because he thought the music thing wasn't going to work. And so he became a beautician, and of course his songs just took off, and he never went back to it. But
right, amazing. So okay, well that explains a great deal for us on that, because I was just curious. I'm really sad to understand that she had that kind of a ending. But you know what? I always like to remind folks, and it always seems to me that it's always those who are incredibly talented and creative, and they always attract a certain kind of the opposite, if you will. I don't know. It just seems very strange to me. But anyway,
some people make great personal choices and bad business choices, and other people make bad business,
it's the
bad
opposite,
personal choices
exactly.
And good personal choices.
Yeah, that's
I don't know,
amazing.
It's crazy.
To me. Exactly. Well, listen, thank you so much. This is great. Folks, if you've just joined us, we have really been kind of getting a great education, a great understanding of so many historical elements and things that we kind of knew a little bit about, or we kind of heard about, and some of us have read some things, but not others. So we're so excited to have the gentleman behind the Freeman Institute. He is the founder, CEO, and president, Dr. Joel Freeman, and he's with us today. And this is just, I'm still kind of stuck on the 3,000, more than 3,000 pieces that you have in the Black History Collection. I can't wait to come and see that. So I'm very, very excited.
Well, thank you so much. I'm very excited
about it. Sure. So this is just wonderful. And we're going to tell the folks again, why don't you do that, Dr. Freeman? Tell the folks how they can reach you, how they can find out the items that they really need to focus on some of these. I mean, you have quite a bit of information.
Well, I think if people can go to blackhistorycollection.com, blackhistorycollection.com, and then at the very bottom of the page is all of my contact information. And so then I'd be very happy to talk with them if they want to order a book, a film version of the book, Return to Glory, the entrepreneurship book, anything at all, or just want to talk maybe about something in there that they have a collection or a few pieces and they're wondering about it. I'd be very happy to talk with people. And so that's probably the best way, blackhistorycollection.com.
Well, we're going to, of course, stay on top of all of this and bring you back, Dr. Freeman. We're going to keep, we've got you now. And there is a whole lot of this that we're going to delve into on a regular basis, because this is something that's so critical and important for us to have a greater understanding about. And I feel so honored and lucky right now. I feel so lucky that I've been able to come across your information. I'm just very grateful. Now, I have to say, before we close out, I had mentioned this at the top of the interview. I love the quotes that you've assembled. I don't know who wrote them, but I just love them. And these are just a couple of them that I just said, oh, wow, how great. Patience is not waiting. It's how you act while you're waiting. So that's one. I love that. And I think that says so much. And my other favorite that I seem to just picked up again from looking at, I started at freemaninstitute.com, and I saw this, and it's like age doesn't always bring wisdom. Sometimes age comes alone. I just love that. That says it all. So I want to just say you are just extraordinary. So
you're extraordinary. I'm an expert in this or that. I'm not an expert. I'm just a student. And so I'll always be a student learning.
Wow.
Like someone once said that you can't learn with your mouth open. It's just more of a situation. You just really want to. I'm always someone that I want to just learn, because generally speaking, you aren't learning much when your lips are moving. And so I want to be a person who listens at least twice as much than I speak.
I
did a lot more speaking today than I
well, that's
than I
okay.
like to do.
that's exactly what I was about to say. It's okay when your lips are speaking when they're educating so many people, countless folks who need to hear what you have to say. So I am so grateful. Now, are you on social media? We need to find out. Are you on social media at all?
I'm on Facebook. I've got about 16 pages. In fact, there's a page called Black History Collection. It's the only one on Facebook. Got over 10,000 followers on that. And got some very, very cool stuff on that. And then, of course,
well, you're about
name,
to have 10,001.
So it's Black History Collection right on the Facebook page. And then,
sure,
of course, I have my own personal Facebook page, and I'd love to connect with anybody. And then I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter and who knows about me and all
okay.
that kind of stuff that's out there.
So we can find you. Okay. Well, I'm going to have you back, as I said, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Well, do you have any closing thoughts? You've been so kind to just share your perspective on all of this, and just someone who has done so much. Do you have any closing thoughts or words of inspiration or encouragement?
Well, I do. I think, speaking of the hair and beauty industry, I just see how Asians have pretty much taken over, and I'm not mad at them. I think they just took advantage of a situation that was open and available. I've developed a 10-year plan on how African Americans can take back the hair care and beauty industry, starting from the top down and the bottom up. And I think Annie Malone figures very much into this. I would love to see this booklet get into every beauty parlor, every beauty salon, every barbershop in the country, and have people learn about Annie Malone. And then I'd like to see the most senior people in the hair care beauty industry from the old guard companies and the new guard companies come together. In the first year, not even deal with business things, just be develop relationship, to take a look at the elephants in the room, to walk through all of that, to deal with that, and then have a united, just not a united front necessarily, even though that's important, but united, just be united and to really become good friends and understand how important this is. And then in the second year, start developing manufacturing and then distribution. And little by little, I think that there's a whole willing audience built around Annie Malone's story that could be wide open, because people will not buy black just for the sake of buying black. They want to buy something that is a good price, that's easily available, it is distributed well, is manufactured well, and you just check all the boxes off, and then someone will say, okay, now I'll buy whatever that product is. If it happens to be black, that's what I'm talking about, is to create a whole industry that can, because without the if the consumers are trained and understand what's going on, I think, and then there's a product and manufacturing and distribution all set up in place to deliver it, I think that within 10 years, the whole industry can turn around and it can become something that's well within the African-American community. But I think Annie Malone is the key for all of this.
Well, I just want to remind the folks, and the book that you're talking about, exactly, the title and how we can get our hands on that book again.
Madam Walker's Role Model. It can be found on Amazon, eBay, but if they go to, if someone goes to Poro College, P-O-R-O, Paul Ocean, Ralph Ocean, porocollege.com, they can see how to order it. And I think it's such an important piece of history. You know, Carrie, I reached out to the leaders in the hair care beauty industry and only found two or three that even knew who Annie Malone was. And I said,
exactly.
I said, you know, that this is an important thing for people to learn about her so then they can begin to reanimate her legacy.
Well, I'll tell you something. It starts today. Dr. Freeman, I want to thank you again for being our very special guest right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're going to have you back to kind of, you know, continue this wonderful conversation. I think it was a great start, and you've helped to peel back just a little bit for us. And we've got some work to do. So we're going to have you back. Well, listen, I want to thank you again, and you, please remain on the line, Dr. Freeman. I'm going to close us out here, and we're going to chat. All right, folks.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It's Friday morning. Good Friday out there. 22. It's our show number 699. That's show 699. Just one show from our 700th live broadcast of the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I want to bring back to the line, shall I say, a very nice gentleman who helps us out in the mornings from down in the South Jersey area, outside of Trenton, New Jersey, the one and only Otto. Otto, good morning. Happy Friday. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday and good Friday to you, Curry.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I'm really excited. I love Fridays. I love the weekend, ushering in the weekends on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And we wanted to be on with you guys live today. I know a lot of you are home. You know, I ran out to the store, and it was the streets are empty here in my neck of the woods up here in Brooklyn, New York. And I said, my goodness, where is everybody? And I asked the lady at the store. She's like, it's a holiday. And I said, oh, that's right. So I had to dash back inside to the studio and get back into my chair and continue with our broadcast this morning. But I'm so happy. Now, folks, if you've just joined us, we're going to do a real breakdown and review of the whole week a little later this morning at about 8:30 or so. New York time, 7:30 if you're out in the central time zone. But I do want to say this. If you just tuned in, then you might have missed how we kind of opened up the show this morning here in New York. We opened up with, of course, Maggie Anderson kicking off with the Black Hair Challenge and all of that. I gave a little talk on motivation as well, following Maggie. And, of course, we had Dr. Michael Obeng, who Beverly Hills doctor, who has a beautiful, beautiful space out there in which he does all kinds of amazing things to, you know, the surgical things, of course. He's a doctor, medical doctor. And then on top of that, he does a lot of charitable work, especially for his home folks in Ghana, so West Africa. So I'm so excited. It's always a great time to chat with him. So we just caught up with him a year after the big Tessica Brown, you know, fiasco with her hair being glued to her head. So he was able to remedy that situation, and therefore folks nicknamed him the Miracle Doctor. So that's how it all started. And Tessica made history literally all over the world. Everybody, it was a huge story last year. And we were lucky enough to get Dr. Obeng early on in that process. So his folks have been wonderful to me. They've been very, very kind. So I always, always, always make sure to give him a shout-out, his incredible staff. And I really meant it. I don't know if you guys heard, but I said I was going out there. Otto, did you hear that? I said I was going out there to Beverly Hills, California. To you know, have some lunch.
I thought, Dr. Obeng, quite a challenge to the Gorilla Glue. It probably, you know,
yeah,
the first time.
Yeah, Gorilla Glue, yeah.
Yeah, quite a challenge to reverse that, and sounds like you did a very good job for the young lady.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And this is something, you know, the whole reason and purpose of the Hair Radio Morning Show is so that we can properly educate everybody, listeners, our fans, on how to care for your hair properly. And that's key, being able to, because the way that I look at it, a lot of these situations, you guys heard about the slap that was heard and seen around the world by upwards of 3 billion people through that the Oscars telecast with Will Smith, Jada Pinkett, and, of course, Chris Rock being slapped by Will Smith. Mm. And so the whole thing, in my opinion, is that a lot of this emanated, it came out of the idea of lack of education about alopecia. And so that's why it's so important. Alopecia is the fancy medical term for hair loss. And so the more that we know about about hair loss, the more that we know about educating folks on as much as we know, and there are all kinds of folks in the stew. You've got the manufacturers, you've got the hairstylists who provide the different types of hairstyles, who may or may not be aware of all the, you know, techniques in terms of, most of our hairstylists are incredibly trained, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we have to make sure that folks are aware of how to help maintain healthy hair. And that, while there's all kinds of, everybody's in their corner with the type of things that they do for the industry, the hair industry, and for the public. But what's the one commonality that should be shared by all is healthy hair care. And that's the regimen we want to promote here on the broadcast. Whether you're doing wigs or not, or whatever you're doing, we are in the middle of everybody. We don't pass judgment here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, but we do want you to, we want you to get the right information. And so that's why I'm starting my foundation on properly educating about hair care and starting with the children. We are going to do a whole lot. A whole lot is on the way. So let's just put that on out there. So that was all coming out of Dr. Obeng. And then, you know, we had the incredible Joel A. Freeman, Dr. Joel Freeman. So, did you hear anything on Dr. Freeman?
Yes, volumes of quotes and knowledges. I enjoy quotes. This is one that, man,
you
it really
is. You like quotes as well?
That's
yes, one of my favorites, Otto.
I'm a basic guy, so it keeps me going, like, you know, little things. But this one, that no wind from you, you know, no hate, no judgment or prejudice. It's just, you know, he mutual respect, you know, and I enjoyed that one, you know. And that's how I walk my days. I walk with, I like that, no wind. I didn't know how I was walking, but I like to put it into that context. Just no wins. There's no judgment, you know, no prejudice. Just have mutual respect for all people.
Yes, yes, and I love that. He was a chaplain with the NBA, and so you know, he provided consultation on religion, on, you know, on spirituality. Perhaps is a better way to say that, with the players. And so he's an incredibly profound and deep, deep individual that you're going to hear a little bit more from today. Well, Dr. Freeman, in his incredible, you know, he has a treasure trove, as you heard, of artifacts that he was mostly was given. He has over 3,000 items in his collection that you can see and visit, you know, out in Maryland. You can find him on social media, as he said. I'm Dr. Joel Freeman. We're so excited to have him on our show. Now, he and one of his colleagues, Dr. Walter Milton, who is an incredible educator from the New York State area. So in my state out here, up here in New York, but he's from New York State as well. But I'm in New York City, just so folks know. I'm in Brooklyn, New York. But he's so incredible. Dr. Milton is so, so when I felt like I had been speaking to Dr. Milton my whole life. So just a wonderful, wonderful guy. And Dr. Freeman, it's great to always have him back on the show. So he returned with Dr. Milton to the broadcast. And we're going to get that on in just a couple of minutes. And then after that, should be about 8:30 or so New York time, 7:30 if you're out in Central Time Zone. We are looking forward to a recap, pretty much a recap, which is a short word for recapitulation, short for synonymous with the word summary. Everybody always says, Carrie, when are you going to give us a word of the day? I'll think about all of that sometime soon. But yeah, I'm really excited. Well, I'm also an etymologist, and that's a person who studies a lot of words and all of that fancy good stuff.
Okay.
So so I'm looking. Yeah, so that's always exciting for me anyway. So today at about 8:30 or so, we're going to take a look back at some of the incredible stories that we've been able to share with all of you guys. So, you know, we've heard from you on quite a bit of feedback. I get feedback here almost every day on what folks enjoyed about the radio show. So I'm kind of excited about being able to, you know, take a look back at some of the highlights from the week. There were some things that touched us deeply and will be quite memorable, right? Yeah.
Right.
So I think this is really nice. And you were about to say something, Otto?
Yeah, going back to Dr. Joel Freeman, the book, if this is great for entrepreneurship, if nobody loves you, create the demand. How about that, guys?
Yes, that's, you know? Yes. Well, that's what we do here.
Yes. You know, you don't believe, and nobody believes you believe, but and you, you know, create the demand. I thought that was another one of his awesome.
Yes.
And I can
and
never.
He's full of them.
Oh yeah, and Annie Malone. What a blueprint to success. What a blueprint.
Annie Malone,
man.
And there were so many ladies out there around the time of Annie Malone. We're talking about. Annie Malone, Madam C.J. Walker. Madam C.J. Walker worked for Annie Malone back in those days. So we're talking about, you know, Madam Walker died in like 1919. And the year that she died, down in your area, not too far from your area, rather, in Atlantic City, New Jersey, that was a wonderful lady named Sarah Spencer Washington. Who began her, she opened up her first shop, salon, the same year that Madam Walker died. And she was a, she became a huge philanthropist and did so much, a printer. She reminded me of Hair Radio. She opened up a pharmacy down there. She had connections with the city. I had an opportunity to interview her great-great nephew on our broadcast. Not all that long ago, and so I was super excited. He came to do a documentary at my live event at the Showboat Hotel a couple years back. So we've always been, we're always at the forefront of everything, hair and beauty, and I'm very proud of that. So, yeah, so there were a lot of ladies. There were some up in Canada, in Nova Scotia. And so there were, even though we always talk, we tend to talk about the great Annie Malone and the great Madam C.J. Walker, there are so many out there. And if you watch Netflix, don't forget that there is that wonderful movie called Self-Made that loosely is based on Madam C.J. Walker and a character like Annie Malone. And
right.
I'll just park that there. Yeah. So when you get a chance, check it out. It's Self-Made. It's still playing on Netflix. I love it. I absolutely love the movie. Just incredible. And it was by our guest on the show at the time, who was the great-great-granddaughter. And I don't know if you ever heard that. We'll get that interview on. I'll replay that on next week because that was an incredible part to have her talk about her father and mother. And her great-great-grandmother, the incredible she was a millionaire. We're talking about the first self-made black female millionaire in America. So that is, it's great to have her lineage with us on the show. So
absolutely.
I'm so proud. Yeah, well, we know all the folks.
That.
Yeah, we know the folks. Oh, absolutely. So listen, this is the Dr. Freeman part two, you want to call it, with Dr. Milton. This morning on the show, we'll be back to do a full, incredible recap today and so much more. You don't want to go away, so please keep it right here. So I'll tell you what, why don't we get on just a little bit of something, some great music. We'll lead on in with a song, and then after that, we'll come right on in with the doctors and stay with us. We've got a lot more to get to. This is classic Michael Jackson.
You know, I was wondering, you know, if you could keep on, because the force, it's got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like, it makes me feel like,
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have two very special guests joining us today. Well, they're from the world of education. It is my honor to welcome back to the show Dr. Joel A. Freeman and welcoming for the very first time Dr. Walter Milton, Jr. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Good morning. We are honored to be with you this morning.
Yes. Awesome.
Thank you, Carrie. We love being here and looking forward to our time together.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I want to kind of jump right on in. Dr. Freeman, we're going to kick off with you. You were kind enough to help us kind of launch the Hair Radio Morning Show 5 years ago, literally hundreds of episodes of this broadcast ago. And we're so excited because many of our listeners, you've touched folks around the world with your story. And so we're going to remind everybody about that, but I just wanted to officially welcome you back to the broadcast and how we were able to use that wonderful, wonderful interview as a great foundation for pushing us forward. And we're still here today. I think that's a big part of that. So thank you.
Well, I'm very thrilled at what you're doing and how you've done it, your integrity, your stick-to-itiveness, and it's an inspiration to all of us.
Wonderful. Well, listen, again, welcome to the show. And now I have to turn also to Dr. Walter Milton, Jr. You are from the Rochester, New York area, and you are, when I tell you, I was just blown away at your story when I started to do some research. School superintendent for years, literally.
Office.
Yes. So education, to put it mildly, is important. So, Dr. Milton, I have to get in there. What, you know, where did this come from, this whole, you know, this journey that you are on, that you've been on? And it's, I'm going to call it a track, I think, you know. So where did this come from in terms of jumping into the education or on the education wagon, I should say?
Well, you know, I had two teachers that impacted my life in ways in which one could never imagine. I had a teacher by the name of Adam Urbanski. He was a gentleman from Poland, and he talked about history. He was one of my high school history teachers, and he taught history in a way that you can only fall in love with. And he talked about the movers and shakers of history, the carriers of information, and how we have to learn to deconstruct things and find ourselves in the whole cloak of history. So he planted a major seed in me. Then I had a science teacher. Her name was Cassandra Frierson. And Cassandra Frierson said that I'm part of a history that goes all the way back to the beginning of time. And I was so glad to meet her because I had an experience in elementary school that my teacher attempted to teach Black history, but she started off in slavery. And what happened, it had ushered so much shame and humiliation for me. So that those early years of my life, I was on this quest to find out some truths in history and where I played a role. And Dr. Frierson, or Cassandra Frierson, she said that my past is inexplicably tied to the beginning of time. And so as a result of those two individuals, I went into education, became a teacher, a principal, and then a school superintendent, and decided to step down and start my own company. And then it happened again. And when it happened this time, I said, I'm going to take action. When this whole quest and this desire and this love and passion for history came out, I said, I'm going to do something about it. So Joel Freeman was the first person that I've called. Joel has been a close friend of mine for many years, and I know that he is the curator of many African-American artifacts. And I said, Joel, would you go on this journey with me, man? And he didn't hesitate. Here we are, 2.5, almost 3 years later, with a final product, a finished product, rather. And our goal is to share our love letter to the world. I mean, this is our divine purpose and our mission as to why we exist.
And that is the reason that you guys are here today. And that is to introduce us to this amazing new book. And I'm going to have to, thank you, Dr. Milton, for that. I'm going to have to turn now to Dr. Freeman. I'm going to ask you, Dr. Joel A. Freeman, first of all, again, welcome to the show. And just want to say we are going to turn to you to talk about this amazing new book. We want to make sure and get that on out there, Black History, An Inclusive Account of American History. Tell us about this book.
Yes, as Dr. Milton mentioned, it's a labor of love. It's 1,248 pages, weighs 5.5 pounds, has well over 2,500 images throughout, and about 500 of those images come straight from the collection my wife and I own. We own over 3,000 items. Documents and artifacts. Oldest piece dates back to 1553. And so we have put together, Walter and I, as he mentioned, we worked for about 2.5 years, putting in 12, 16-hour days and working, I'm telling you, it was just like Groundhog Day every day, just working at it and then going to sleep and working some more the next day and just day after day. So it was just, both of us look at it right now and just go, we don't even know how it happened, except God's fingerprints are all over it. And we started in ancient Africa. And the reason why we started in ancient Africa is because we did not want to reinforce the notion, either implicitly or explicitly, that slavery was the beginning of Black history. We wanted to talk about the mores, the folkways, the hunting, the gathering, the fishing, the industry, the agriculture, the ancient African kingdoms that transcend the current geopolitical lines. And now we're ready for the good, the bad, and the ugly of the last four centuries. And even when we get into slavery and the slave trade, we have a whole section just about slave rebellions. We talk about the trickery used. And we have actual stories of how people were tricked into coming on the ship, and or to be kidnapped to get on the ship. So we wanted to give a whole different view about this that is not normally given, at least that we could find. And then there's a gentle timeline that takes us all the way through to the struggle for civil rights. We then. Once we have included that, then we get into the whole area of the economic system. We talk about arts, entertainment. We have a section on sports, Black quarterbacks, the integration of the NBA. And then we have a whole section on 50 states. And it's where we provide some insights into Black history in each state. So whatever state a listener is from, there will be some specific just a showcasing of what has happened in their particular state. Then the final unit is all about the North Star. It's over 100 pages, where we have a timeline from 1491 on that describes all that happened, our interaction between the United States and Canada. And then we tell stories, we share stories from mid-1800s from a book called Refugees that a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Drew went north, and he interviewed a lot of people. And then he put 114 stories, their life stories, into the book. And so in our textbook, we start in Vancouver all the way over to Halifax, Nova Scotia, and everything in between. The Don Settlement with Josiah Henson, and so on and so forth. So it's really a wonderful way to show how people from the South, who many suffered from Stockholm Syndrome, Many just, you know, just the whole, what, how do I deal with, how does a person leave not knowing where they're going to be going and if they're going to get caught and maybe get killed or, you know, get chastised in a horrific ways. And then the fugitive slave laws pushing them into Canada. So we really Walter and I have put together a book that the response we've been getting from around the country has truly been heartwarming, and we are very grateful to be the instruments used to be able to help put this together. And, of course, as we've expanded after the writing was done, our wives are very much a part of this project, and we're grateful to them. And then, more people came on that helped with curriculum design, with search engine optimization, media relations, professional development, and many other aspects that helped to. We now have a team of over 75 people that have helped to bring this to bear.
Well, I'm going to say I think you have at least 76. I'm on board too. Make sure and add me on
okay.
in to that list. I saw that extensive list on your site. I was, at ph365.org. I was quite impressed. Listen, I want to make sure I get the title right. I don't. I think I just introduced it as Black History, but it's actually Black History 365. An inclusive
correct.
Account of American history. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, we landed on 365 because many times people view Black History Month as the main time to talk about Black history. But we decided that this is something that is an inclusive account of American history. That's the subtitle. And we also quote from a gentleman on the back cover. He's a quote on the back cover. His name is James Baldwin. He said, "American history is longer, larger, more various, more beautiful, and more terrible than anything anyone has ever said about it." And that's really, when Walter and I saw that quote, we just said, that's got to be on the cover. It's because that encapsulates what we have done.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I have to say, as a matter of fact, Dr. Milton, I was going to ask you, being, you know, of course, an educator as you are, you know, and being out in the school system, how did that play a part? Because I just imagine that you were close, you know, you were real, you know, you had a real front row seat to what the kids needed, you know, to what the students needed to learn. So I'm going to ask you, how did that play a part, or did it play a part in how you kind of, you know, decided to come up with this idea that you guys have, you know, worked on?
Well, it played a major part. What I saw in my years of education and what I still see now in working with school systems across the country is that there's a direct correlation with the lack of culturally competent instruction and educational approaches to the negative impact that has on student achievement. We also discovered that the lack of historical content has been a significant influencer of negative outcomes for Black students and communities, including lack of self-awareness, lack of self-esteem, lack of intrinsic motivation, decreased academic achievement, truancy, discipline referrals, and even some cases, some criminal activity, because what we found when our young people, not only Black children, but all children, when they have an understanding of who they are, where they came from, and the impact that their ancestors had made on this world, it just increases all the negative things to turn right into the positives, because we make that connection. And so what we found and discovered that the world, particularly America, is begging for something like this because of the past, our history that we have, and how those things still impact us to this day. So we wanted to really look at those things. We really wanted to look at the whole impact of the incarceration system
and how that connected to education. And what we found is that there's this critical gap. And we believe that we have a solution for this gap. One of the things that we really focus on, and Joe will probably talk about that a little later, I'll just introduce the concept, but we said we need to develop critical thinkers, compassionate listeners, fact-based, respectful communicators, and action-oriented solutions. And we believe that BH365 will serve as an impetus to make that happen and to make our world a better place here in America and to bring about a great deal of healing because we clarify things and misconceptions that we've been operating on for many years.
It's just, I'm blown away. And I have to say, Dr. Milton, and I was really touched, and I know we're here. We're going to absolutely get into every single aspect of Black History 365, you guys' new book, which is being used in the schools. But I have to draw some attention to when I came across one of your earlier books that talked about this. It was, the title is A Matter of Life or Death, Why Black Men Must Save Black Boys in America's Public Schools. And I know you've written a couple of books, but that was... I read a little bit of the synopsis, and I was just very impressed. So thank you for all the work that you are doing, that both of you are doing on this incredible, incredible topic that, believe me, even, you know, I could put this on every day, you know, for years, and it would still just be scraping the surface of what needs to be done. But it's a wonderful thing to do as much research, and you guys can hear it. You've done a lot of research. I see the work, and it is incredible. It is absolutely incredible. So thank you both for that.
Thank you so much.
Yes, well, very much welcome. Well, listen, if you guys, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It's my pleasure to welcome these two incredible educators to Hair Radio, and Dr. Joel A. Freeman, he's been with us before. We're so excited to welcome him back. It's been 5 years, and he's joined, of course, or we're joined with Dr. Walter Milton, Jr., who we're also excited, a New Yorker, a fellow New Yorker, to the broadcast. And now, Dr. Freeman, you're in Maryland area, correct? Aren't you still out in Maryland?
Yes, not far from Annapolis.
Okay, and so we have a lot to talk about because just trying to catch everybody up a little bit, and then I have some more questions for you, Dr. Milton, but just to kind of bring everybody up to speed, Dr. Freeman, I recall that you started off early on and you were a chaplain for, wasn't it the NBA, and you did all these amazing things and just had such I think it was, well, what seemed on that interview, just a deep understanding for folks at an early age. And that's what I got from that. And I was just quite impressed and went on to create that whole space with all these artifacts that you have that chronicle the lives of folks all the way to Africa and here. And so I'm just very impressed and, you know, just happy to have you here. So what can you tell us about your collection these days? Anything? Of course, we've got your book, which is going to be a big part of that, Black History 365, but what else can you tell us about the collection that you have amassed all of this? And I know you have pictures inside the book, inside of Black History 365.
Yes. Yeah, it's a big part of the book and a big part of, I think, the contribution, because it's exclusively available to the book, the images. There's now over 4,000 high-resolution images.
Amazing.
And anyone who tries to put together something like this without images, it's just very difficult. And what people, when we went to the printers in Ohio who manufactured this book, one of the young men, I don't know how long he'd been working there, but maybe a decade or two or close, 15 years maybe. And we were just talking with him, and he says, yeah, he says, when I came in this morning, I thought I was working on a National Geographic project. and so the collection is made up of over 3,000 items. We've done two exhibits at the United Nations. We had over 1 million visitors. I've done three in concert with the White House. I've done two at the Clinton Presidential Library. I've done a number with Secret Service at their headquarters in D.C. and a number of other venues around the country. And it's just been wonderful. And when Walter called me about this project, I didn't have to think about it because I knew intuitively that I had been building this collection, and it's perfect for a curriculum in terms of the way the types of items. I would pass over 200 items to get to that 201st item that would help tell the story. And so I was very selective about the items that I collected and brought together. So it's kind of a unique type of collection, and I think when people get the textbook and they start looking at the images, especially the first two units, because the first two units are about ancient Africa and slavery and the slave trade. So I have a number of items. For instance, I have one item when I was in Elmina Castle in Ghana on the banks of the Atlantic Ocean. Mm-hmm. And I met with the village elders there, and they voted unanimously to donate a set of shackles, an actual set of shackles from Elmina Castle. And I was truly humbled and honored by that, because I don't think they did that very often.
Exactly.
And so those are the kinds of stories behind many of the pieces of the collection. Just had over 75 given to me, had to acquire a lot of things myself, but this gentleman, his father, worked for TWA Airlines.
Well, so did I. Wow.
Oh, really?
Yes, small world.
So he was responsible for all the continent of Africa back in the 40s and I think 50s, right in that range. And he had, working in the airline and into Africa, he had many people sourcing original artifacts. We're not talking about stuff for tourists. I mean, original, like doors on a chief's hut, and shackles and masks and figurines and all sorts of items. Well, his dad passed away. Of course, his dad, working at the airline, could ship it back to California.
Sure.
And when he passed away, my friend told me, he said, I'm going to make sure that there's a number of these that are in your collection. He had this sense of urgency, and my friend Pat passed away about 3 months ago, and he had this urgency to get these items to me, and he wasn't even sick, just had a massive heart attack, and he was gone. And so I feel very honored, and am holding those items very carefully, and we have some of them pictured in the textbook, in honor of him and his family.
Wow, that's very nice. I have to say, just when I look at this amazing book, Black History 365, and you mentioned 1,248 pages, I have to wonder about the schools. Like, how have the folks received this book, the textbook? Dr. Milton, let's ask you that. How has it been received by the teachers and the students for that much?
They have received the book extremely well. Many of them are not only saying that this is for 9th through 12th grade students, many of them are saying this engages all ages. This should be a book that's in every household across this country, in particular, and in general across the world, because it had so many features. It really does. Also, Morehouse College down in Atlanta is going to be one of the first colleges launching the textbook in January. We are also in a conversation with Hampton University in Virginia that's going to do that. And then we have had a number of people who have purchased personal copies of the textbook. So we believe that it has this book throughout the pages. It's a healing mechanism. I just want to quickly go back, if you can indulge me for a quick second.
Sure.
to talk about these images. And I don't know if I've ever shared this with Joel, but it was an extremely tedious task to find the images. And he, like he said, he would go through 200 images just to get to that 201 to say, hey, this is it here. I mean, it wasn't anything that was easily done. I mean, it was arduous and it was daunting. And in some cases, I saw and felt the pain that he went through just to make sure that it was beyond excellent. Because the images not only tell a story, the images bring the words alive of that book.
Wow. I'm blown away. I love as you, you know, respond to this, and you're just painting an amazing picture of Black History 365. Now, how do folks find this book, Dr. Milton? How do folks get their hands on a personal copy or an edition for, you know, like you said, it should be in every household?
Absolutely. Well, we're asking the world to go to bh365.org. That's bh365.org. And one of the major features that we have in the book, besides the many QR codes, because we wanted to have a strong integration of technology, we've also embedded music in the book from award-winning Grammy producer by the name of Dr. Kevin Cates, affectionately known as K.O. And K.O. has developed 40 songs. He's a producer for Jay-Z, T.I., Rick Ross, Drake, Snoop Dogg, and a host of others. So we have an expert who has put together amazing songs, and he got the words from the text. And they are just powerful. I mean,
is
they will be
kind of like a soundtrack for the book?
Yes, yes, you can definitely say that. And as Joel said, we have a Hamilton in the making.
I see.
Yeah,
wow.
I call it an anthology of Black history, because basically we've done is, you know, he's doing a song for each chapter, lifting lyrics from the text itself and the concepts surrounding the text. And so you start in ancient Africa and bring it all the way up to George Floyd, you know, some of the things that are happening in our culture today. It's like ripping pages out of the headlines, the way we've done it. And then we have an e-book version that is available, and so that will allow us to even add more items, you know, as things happen in our culture, so that we can continue to keep it updated in the e-book version.
And that's important, right, always to make sure that, you know, I keep going back to, I forget whose book it was, but I like that word living, like living history. It just keeps on going, and I love that. I have to tell you, this is just amazing. We're talking with the authors of this amazing book, the folks behind Black History 365, this amazing, incredible book. We're talking with Dr. Joel A. Freeman and Dr. Walter Milton, Jr. So we're real excited to have them with us today. 1,248 pages. This is a huge book, but it is packed with so much information and knowledge that we need. And I can't say it enough. I really can't. I think this is a game changer out there. Dr. Freeman, why was this so necessary, though? You know, there are tons of books. Folks will say, you know, I saw the books that were out there when I was in school, and those history books seem just fine. What do you say to folks who say something like that, Dr. Freeman?
Well, every time there is a racially charged incident in America, there are some very smart people, passionate people who get on TV. You know, we affectionately call them talking heads. And you can almost, if you're running a betting game, you could bet that someone's going to say, in so many words, we need to have a national conversation around the topic of race relations in America. And one gets the sense that 3 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, perhaps that same person will be saying the same thing. And, you know, people protest in different ways. We have comedians who use comedy expertly to protest. Some write books. Some will write poetry. We remember the protest songs of the 60s and the protesting in rap music and hip-hop music. And some protest by demonstrating, marching. The way Walter and I protest is by coming, by putting in the 2.5 years, 12, 16-hour days to come up with a solution to the education gap in America. Our protest is we look at it in terms of a solutionist approach, so that we can start these conversations. So we have something in the textbook that is proprietary to BH365, is we have something called the Elephant Experience. Now, the Elephant Experience, and we could spend a whole show just talking about the Elephant Experience, but it's a whole idea of, okay, we have these topics that people don't like talking about. It's uncomfortable. And topics that cause some people to talk at or past each other. Some people block each other on Facebook or other types of social media. And so what Walter and I wanted to do is to come up with a process. Cause why an elephant? You know, connection with Africa. Hey, there's an elephant in the room. Probably your favorite joke in second grade was, hey, how do you eat an elephant? One spoonful at a time, one bite at a time. So there has to be a process, a schema, a methodology for dealing with the elephant. And then, of course, the hippocampus of an elephant is extremely large. And their EQ matches and rivals that of chimpanzees and some species of dolphins. So it has to be something that's sticky, something that is that engages, not just momentarily, but for the long term. So that's what we did. So topics such as 3/5 of a human being, Uncle Tom, the N-word, reparations. Are we in a post-racial society after having a black president for 2 terms? Can a white person ever truly understand the black experience in America? Scientific racism, lynching, and should we tear the statues down? Things like that, topics like that, that we have a certain process that is a healing process, not a divisive process, where students can be, where we have professional development trainers that train the teachers in setting the environment so the students can create an environment that allows for these topics to be dealt with in a way that is beneficial. And where there there's a binary choice, we have QR codes that provide the pro and the con, you know, the for and against views. And so it invites people outside of their confirmation bias bubbles and gets them into a realm where they begin to see the other side, and or at least hear the other side. And then using the Socratic method, the students engage around it and come up with individual or perhaps even collective understanding about something. So to get back to your original question, the need for something like this and the response we're getting from principals, from educators, from superintendents, from people who have, historians. I was talking with a historian the other day, and he was saying he's up to page 500 already.
Oh, wow.
In the textbook.
Wow.
And he was saying that he was just delighted. He said, oh, my goodness. He's checking out the QR codes. He's engaging with it. And he just said, I just cannot believe a resource like this is finally available. This is what I've been talking about all my life, and a resource like this.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when it comes to the distinctives, we believe that we have something that is very uniquely crafted. It's designed for healing. It's truth-centric. It has the music attached to it. It has QR codes, so it's engaging with technology. We start in ancient Africa, so we're not reinforcing implicitly or explicitly the notion that black history started slavery. So we bring all these elements together that we've discussed, and we brought it into one textbook. Now, you know, we're also planning to create a K through 8, so K2, 3, 5, 6, 8 grade bands. Those are coming. And we're using the 9 through 12 textbook, which, by the way, engages all ages. We're using that backbone information to then be contextualized in the 6 through 8, 3 through 5, and K through 2 programs. So now, getting back to what I was, how I started this response, now we're starting to get people to kids to start talking about the tough topics in a contextualized manner from kindergarten on. And hopefully we'll be able to measure results with the students, the teachers, and perhaps even the parents. And, you know, 3 years from now, 5 years, 12 years from now, to see what kind of impact this can have on our society that is so polarized politically. And to really get people to engage using, coming through the lens and the gateway of history, which an inclusive account of a history, so that we can somehow see healing happen in our country.
I totally agree. I was thinking as you were just explaining that, I'm thinking to myself as well. You know, that's the thing. We are all, you know, when we look back at how when we were in school and taught history, and it really does, I hate to say, but it really, that's kind of where you, what you get is, you know, for Black history, anything that's relating to Black culture is usually starting with slavery. And so I so appreciate what you have just described in Black History 365. I so appreciate it because just to be able to connect back to Africa and just see a place in, you know, how, you know, folks of Black descent just, African descent rather, just figure into everything. So it's amazing to me. And I have I'm kind of blown away just to talk to you about it. So I'm excited for folks to get their hands on Black History 365. It is important. It's an important book. So what else is there out there? You and Dr. Milton, as you mentioned, there is music involved in all of this as well. Can I get my hands on some of this so I can play some of those songs on the Hair Radio Morning Show? We'd love to get some of those music files over here.
It's probably, the music is so good, and I can't wait till you hear it. And I think that maybe Joe and I could send you a demo copy for your
Absolutely.
Ears only, because it's going through the process of being produced and recorded, and so we're going through all the legal aspects of that. But in the meantime. We can give you something that you could look forward to coming out, and I think that we would love to have you once we get the green light to play it on your show, because it's going to be a Grammy award producing set of music, and I give all the accolades to God first, but I give them to KO. Who was used by God to do this, to do this work. I mean, the music is incredible. And as the kids say, it is highly dope.
Awesome.
I think that, you're going to love it. You really are. And, you know, Joel and I are just so honored that you allowed us to be here today to share this, one of the most passionate things in our lives, you know, Black history. And Joel talked about us being utilized as a vessel. You know, we had many moments that we worked throughout the day, and we'll talk, you know, how did we get here? How did we do this? Where did this come from? And we just know that this was all divinely inspired. It really was.
Absolutely. Well, I have to say, I want to just, before we close out on this part today, I definitely want to just make sure everybody is aware of, again, how to get their hands on Black History 365, your website. Please give us that again. You know, Dr. Freeman, Dr. Milton, please tell everybody how to get their hands on this amazing book.
Yes, BH365.org.
BH365.org. Okay. And that is just awesome. And we're real happy about that. Yes, indeed. And also, just to let everybody know that you guys, this is not the end of Black History 365 on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm so happy and honored that you guys are here. You know, we're announcing right now just an interview arc where we're going to have a few shows at this time, and then we're going to roll out something long-term that kind of can, you know, take parts of this amazing book. We're going to say Black History 365 is the name, and we're going to cover it a little bit more in depth. We wanted to just kind of do a quick introduction, if you will, and talk about some of the things that are inside of this amazing book. And I've got to tell you, we're going to be able to get into some of, before I let you guys go today, we're going to tease this because I want to get your opinion of, you know, of things that are happening today and how you can tie them to Black History 365, Black History 365, and I know that you can. And we're going to have that a little later for you guys, or we'll put it on our website as well. So that's just a nice little tidbit that we'll get into a little later. But first, again, I want to thank you. Before we go, Dr. Freeman, why don't we start with you? Is there any last thoughts or anything you want to kind of close out this portion today of our interview? Anything you want to leave us with? Like those amazing sayings that you used to have. You used to give us all these wonderful sayings that I always love. Anything that you want to tell us today?
Well, I think that the main thing I wanted to, that comes to my mind right now is that this textbook is transcendent. You know, as we say in the subtitle, an inclusive account of American history.
Inclusive.
And so the whole idea of the term inclusive, I want everyone who's listening to realize that this is an opportunity to engage all ethnicities and ages, you know, in terms of young and older generations, different backgrounds. Some are come from more urban areas and some come from more rural areas, socioeconomic aspects. We've tried to include everything. Plus, when it comes to STEAM or STEM, you know, science, technology, engineering, and I like to put in arts and then M for mathematics, we've provided different
STEAM
aspects. Sorry?
No, I was saying yours is STEAM, not just STEM.
Yeah.
STEAM. I like that.
That's right, STEAM. There's STEM and STEAM, and I prefer STEAM. But so if people are looking for this to engage on all aspects, you know, we have some very interesting topics. I was talking with someone just recently, and she was saying that she says, "Well, I'm an educator," and she said, "My response to this once I started looking at it is I don't really know that much," and we don't want that to be the takeaway. But we want it to be the incentive that when people approach this topic, you know, and we talk about the Great Migration to the North and then to the West, you know, that in all these different topics, the Harlem Renaissance, and we even have a whole section in there, Carrie, that I think you'll love, is what about taking back the hair care and beauty industry?
Well, that's coming up in our next segment.
We have a whole section
on
that.
I thought I'd
spring
that on you a little later. Yes.
So that's on my mind. That's all. It's the inclusive nature of the textbook. Walter?
365.
Well,
yes,
I just wanted to say we didn't have an opportunity to talk about our advisory board, but hopefully we can do that next time we come back on. We have incredible people like Kathy Hughes, Benjamin Crump.
All my favorite folks. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Agabriar Bryson, the great grandnephew of Annie Malone.
Yeah.
You'll know
yeah.
Annie Malone. Joel has done a lot of extensive work regarding her and a host of other wonderful people. But I want to leave with celebrating you, Carrie, because I know that you bring so many people, you give so many accolades, you know, through your work. But I want to give you an accolade. You know, just my
short time of knowing you and hearing you and hearing about you and researching you as well, you are truly a merchant of hope. You carry hope in the, for so many people's lives, you know, and I can hear that hope in your voice, your heart, your soul, and your spirit. And I just want to wish you the best always.
That's very kind. Thank you very much. It means a lot. I appreciate that. And I have to tell you, when I hear those names and, you know, Kathy Hughes, she's been my, you know, starting out in radio and being one of my favorite folks in radio. And back when I didn't see many folks who are African-American doing that and just being such a big forerunner out there, I'm just blown away. And Benjamin Crump has been on my show. He's been on our broadcast just like you guys. And so I had a chance to chat with him, of course. And even Akbar, I think the gentleman, I've chatted with him as well. So, and Annie Malone, all of this comes full circle. So I just have to say I'm blown away. And again, I want to thank you guys personally. This book is important, Black History 365. The website is bh365.org. You need to get a copy of this book. And we're going to make sure that you do that. And if you need to be put in touch, and I got to say this last thing, Dr. Freeman, I have to say, I had told everybody, I'd put it out on Facebook that you were coming back to the show, and I posted all this about Black History 365, the book and the picture and all of that. And my brother, Dr. Leroy Hines, who the listeners out there know, he's been with us many times, he's a trained economist and all of this, he's deep in history and studying all of this, and he rarely, you know, pipes up to ask me about anything. You know, he sees my radio show, you know, guests from time to time. This was the only time he said, "You must introduce me to Dr. Freeman." He didn't know about you at that time, Dr. Milton.
No, I'm okay. I'm okay.
And I said, I kid you not. He said to make sure. So I said, well, when I speak with you, I'm going to get your permission, but I'm going to introduce him to you guys. Because I think that he's, Dr. Leroy Hines, he's been out there, and as I said, the listeners know, he always comes on and gives us all kind of, you know, in terms of current affairs and all that wonderful good stuff. But I have to say, I think he's definitely, you guys, you're definitely going to have a great time. That's all I can say. That's amazing work. So thank you so much. And you guys out there are going to have to stay tuned for the next part of this episodal arc with these amazing guys. Again, it's my pleasure to thank Dr. Joel A. Freeman and Dr. Walter Milton Jr. for being part of this broadcast today. Again, the book is Black History 365. Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Stay with us, folks. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to RuggedEvo.com. That's RuggedEvo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
All right, we're back live. It is Friday morning, April 15th of 2022. I'm Carrie Hines as we begin the wind down for today's broadcast. It's been just incredible. I have to say, Otto, it has been wonderful. Did you enjoy the show today?
Wonderful. Yes, I did. Enjoyable show, like all the shows this week.
Awesome. And actually, you bring up a great point, because it's the time to take a quick look back at some of the incredible coverage and stories that aired throughout the week. And real happy about that. Let's see. Well, I don't know about you, Otto, but for me, I think we started the week on Tuesday. You know, we're off on Mondays from the live broadcast. We tell you guys to go over to our 24-hour network at HAIRadio.com and listen to our 24-hour streaming network there. It's right at the top of the website. You just hit the play button, and automatically all of our content that we've already preloaded for you plays all day, every day, 7 days a week. You can listen in the morning. You can listen in the middle of night, which is just awesome. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in the coming days as well. But Tuesday, April 12th, we kicked off with show number 696. That was this Tuesday that just passed of 2022. So, Otto, what did you hear? Did you have any great memories? Tuesdays are always a busy day for us. It's the first day back live each week, and we come in with a lot of content. Do you remember how we kicked off the week, and what did it mean to you?
Oh, yes. It was a lot of knowledge. Antonio Vargas, great story, theater,
oh,
14,
yes.
You know, classes, yes. Training. You know, yes, yes. His main message was you got to do the work. The actor.
Yes.
And Huggy Bear. Who can forget Huggy Bear?
Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch, you're talking about.
Yes.
And All My Children and All That. Yeah, he was a great way to kick off the week. I chose his interview because he has great meaning, and I usually use a lot of the celebrities to kick off our week. We usually kick off with a celebrity interview. And then later on that day, Michael Hopkins and the Vet Talk Radio Show were on with episode number 31. So we're shouting them out this morning. So that was really good, too. Then Wednesday, episode number 697 on the 13th of April, it was an incredible show. I don't know if you guys remember, but mid-show, we had a lot of great live talk. And then we kind of surprised everybody with a surprise guest appearance from Brandy J. She's a talk show host in her own right. And so much more, and a survivor of domestic abuse and so much other things that she had gone through. And she kind of surprised our audience with her candor. She was quite candid. She was very, very straightforward. I don't know if you remember that interview, but I think how could you forget it? She was quite incredible.
She overcame so many barriers, and I'd like to wish her well with her housing for abused women. I hope she's very successful helping the women. I hope so.
Me too.
I wish her
and
well.
And we're going to have her back. She's somebody who's unforgettable. I wish she were out here on the East Coast. She's out in California, so I just wish that she could be a little bit closer to us. But we're still going to get her on for you guys. And we're always going to have these folks who come back often and visit. And so it was just incredible. And yesterday on our show number 698, we had just an incredible show as well. We did quite a bit live talk on yesterday's show, and I thought that was just incredible, and aired some great interviews. Did you have anything that's jumped out at you this week or yesterday's show or any of the other shows?
Oh, Throwback Thursday, of course. I enjoyed Nicholas Stiles.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. Yeah.
An assistant to Mary Wilson.
Yes.
Man, what a job. What a job.
Yes, he really went in. We love Mary here, the late Mary Wilson, who passed away about a year ago. And we had Nicholas Stiles, who was an incredible guest, like Otto just said. And he really goes in with the commentary. The whole point of this kind of looking back is to be able to, if you've missed any of the shows, I'm loading them all over on our 24-hour streaming network site over at the radio station that plays all day, every day, and just a little bit over an hour or so, you'll have all of that content rolling out, and you can just listen back. Again, it doesn't end here like our outro says. At the end of today's show, in a few minutes, you want to go over to www.hairadio.com and listen. We're going to continue all of this incredible talk and so much more, plus some more music. And then I've got some specials I'm going to toss in. There's some folks that you haven't heard from in a while that you can only hear at hairradio.com. And then next week, we've got a look ahead. But before we get there, Otto, how about today's show real quick? Did you have anything that you wanted to remark about today? I thought it was a fantastic show.
Oh, yes. Dr. Friedman, and now hearing Dr. Walter Milton Jr., that he was excellent also.
Exactly.
Long journey, you know, long journey for these guys, and a lot of knowledge and helpful resources for the community. I thought it was great.
I couldn't say it any better. So on that note, Otto, I think this has been an incredible week. It really has. And I thank you for joining us. You've been incredible and a great asset and contribution to our broadcast. I want to thank all of our – yes, it's just been wonderful. I want to thank our incredible legacy advertisers like FixYourFeet.com with Dr. Ragland. She'll be with us soon. And we're also going to get on Arrington Gavin again from Rugged Evolution Beard Care and all that he's working on, and some more of his episodes on our 24-hour network. So I'm real excited about that.
Yeah, I like Beard Talk. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. We're coming back with Beard Talk Radio, folks. That's another. We got so much. Listen, you got to go over to hairradio.com. We'll keep you informed. Remember, you can sign up and become a member. It's free to do so at hairradio.com. We've got more with Upscale Radio on the way soon. Next week is our 700th episode on Tuesday. You don't want to miss it. We'll see you back here. It's time to get it's time to get the outro started. We appreciate everything that you're doing. And just thank you so much for being a part of this experience this morning. So much more to come that you just don't know about yet. Thank you. I'm Carrie Hines. Make it an awesome weekend, everybody. We'll be back live on Tuesday. All weekend, go over to hairradio.com and stay connected. Here's our outro.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Ragland, Yolanda Ragland at FixYourFeet.com. They are the very best in foot care. She has two locations, one in New York City and the other in Maryland. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the amazing Troy Ballard, of course, from the West Coast out in Southern California. His company is called Smooth Black Ink. Now, he offers the very, very best in hair care for the entire family.